Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, October the 10th in 2023 on When I Rise. Today we continue year A, proper week 23, which is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. And on the Tuesday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves back in the book of Psalms, Psalm 106, verses 1 through 6, and then jumping ahead to verses 19 through 23. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 106, verses 1 through 6, and the verses 19 through 23. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show your favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. We have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the Lord who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them? This is the word of God for us. I think one of the most powerful experiences of being human is to remember something together, whether it's a family at a family reunion telling stories. At the time of this recording, I'm getting ready to go to my 20th college reunion, and I can't wait. And we can only imagine what the volume of stories will be like. There'll probably be, 10 to 15% catching up what's going on with life now, but then 85% will be reminding ourselves of the stories and telling them turn after turn and just recounting our college years, which, I had a lot of great college years. So I think that's just one of the most powerful things about humans. It's one of our superpowers as Homo sapiens, that we're thinking beings. We're able to project into the future. We're able to reflect on the past. And one of those things which is important for us is to get together and to remember together. Sometimes we do it in very creative ways, and I think that there should be a license to do this. So I was just being reminded as I was preparing for this of a great episode from Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell, where he was doing some work in one of his seasons on some of the particular racial struggles that we continue to have in American life. And I remember in one episode, he interviewed the artist of the Kelly Ingram Park sculpture, which is in Birmingham. If you can remember, there was just a short season where there were riots because of bombings in Birmingham. I mean, Birmingham was nicknamed Bombingham for quite a long time because of bombs that were used to inflict terror upon our African-American brothers and sisters. And if you can recall, there was like this picture of a particular part of a riot where there is a police officer who had a canine. He had like a German Shepherd as part of his unit. And there's this interaction with he and an African-American young man that was on the cover of, the New York Times. And it seemed to galvanize the effort for civil rights reform. I think John F. Kennedy was president at the time. And when he saw it, he said this would embolden our enemies and it would embarrass us with our allies across the world. Just seeing how harshly this one group of our people were treated. But if you actually go to Kelly Ingram, you compare the sculpture side by side with the picture that's on the front of the paper, you'll notice some differences. And the artist took liberties in order to convey the point. The officer looks more menacing. The German Shepherd, even though they can be very terrifying animals. It seems more ferocious, almost like a wolf, than it does a German Shepherd. And the boy is made to look younger and in more of a vulnerable position than the actual picture on the newspaper. And when asked why these certain liberties were taken, I think the artist, if I could just paraphrase, said, you know, there was many stories that were never captured by a picture. There were never stories that were ever told. There was undue violence inflicted upon our people that were never told. And so what the artist wanted to do is to somehow allow this one statue to be a memorial of not just this one story, but all the other stories that were never told. And that's how a sociologist or a philosopher, they call it sites of memory. So that we're not just aware of something that happened in the past, but it's bold enough to convey a message for us today, a cautionary tale, or perhaps an aspirational vision of who we might become. And when I look at Psalm 106, I find it the same way. And one of the creative things that the psalmist does here is not just tell some of the episodes of ancient Israel's story, but we see that there's a correlating together of the worshiper's current experience. You'll notice in the first five verses as we read them, there is like this honest plea, this personal plea from the psalmist. And then there's a key change, maybe to the E minor, if there's some music track in the background. Verse 6 says, "We have sinned even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly." So here, the psalmist says, is not just playing historian, as delightful as that would be, but the psalmist is being theologian, saying, this is still the same story, and we cannot dunk on our ancestors. We still have some of the ever-present issues that they had are still common in our experience as well. And so then we jumped ahead to verses 19 through 23 because they correlate with our Old Testament text from Exodus 32 that we covered yesterday. But with that verse 6 in mind, we are not allowed, at least in this psalm, if we want to participate and follow the way of the liturgist here, we are not allowed just to look at this past event and say, oh boy, like those people really were messed up, right? No, like we have to actually ingest it and say, okay, in what ways am I like them? How have I chosen to pull this past moment into the present and to continue allow it to encumber myself and all? And how have we as the people of God, because we're at the site of memory together, how have we collectively allowed their experience and hardship to be our experience and hardship? And so the psalmist goes into details. Verse 19, at Horeb, they made a calf and worshiped an idol cast from metal. And then there is a polemical statement here in verse 20. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. Right? And that doesn't that sting? That still has enough in it to sting today. That we, in some ways, can take the image of our glorious God and we can reduce that image to something that shouldn't even have the license to be equated as our God, something that we would desire to save us, right? And I think we just need to be honest. This is probably the governing issue, what it means to be human. Some people say that all sins stem from pride, and they might, choosing our own way instead of God's ways. But I think even before that, all sins stem from idolatry, of beholding something or being amazed by something that doesn't really have the purchase to be the God of the heavens and all the earth. N.T. Wright says, we've said it here before on When I Rise, that idols operate on borrowed power. We cede power over to things that are lesser than God, and they control us. And that's what happened in the shadow and the shade of Horeb. The people of God, instead of waiting upon the all-powerful God, they decided to reduce God to an image that doesn't even hold a candle to who God can be for us. And so in the same way, don't we like loan power over to things that we think are important, but really they aren't in the grand scheme of all of life. And so we get to go to the site of memory once more. We find ourselves shoulder to shoulder with generations of worshipers at Horeb, and we get to look upon the scene once more and say, I'm not going to dunk on these people today, but I'm going to be real that there are things in my life that operate like a golden calf idol, that reduce the image of God to something that I can manage myself and that I feel a little more comfortable with, but ultimately leads to the degradation of my human experience. And so today we have a chance to repent, to change our minds very calmly as we encounter the grace of God once more and say, God, you're a friend of mine, friend who I'm indebted to. Please, friend, help me to remove the idols from my life and to behold only the glorious God whom I choose to serve today. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you today that we have this sacred small group that we encounter as we seek, as we read and seek through the scripture text. I think that there's been generations of people, both here where we live, but also across the planet, who've had this craving to know God, and they have sought your face daily, and then they pass that tradition on to us. And so we thank you for the liturgists from Psalm 106 who recalled all of your story, but also had the courage to place themselves in that story, both with all of its benefits, but also with its challenges. And so God, this day we stand shoulder to shoulder with them and all the other faithful, and we say with one voice that we will confess our sins and we will come clean before you like the others have. And so God, this day, as we think about how maybe in our own ways we fashion golden calves, trying to make a relationship with God maybe easier or more convenient, we pray that you would forgive us, you'd give us the courage to cast down our idols, to be clean before you, and to behold you and to adore you only, so that our lives can be fulfilled and so that we can engage with your mission to help all others to the ends of the earth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.